Anyway, like I said, I'm ready to share today from God's Word. And what I want to do today is I want to share with you one of my favorite Bible stories. By the way, how many people don't have sermon notes yet? You bet you want them. Chad, this good-looking guy, is going to hand them out. So Chad, make sure you have sermon notes today. It's important that you have your own copy, of sermon notes, and Chad will get those to you. There's plenty there, okay? So we're going to look today in the book of Joshua, one of my favorite Bible stories. So if you have your Bible, you can begin to look for Joshua chapter 3. That's near the beginning of the Bible, okay? And chapter 3 is what we're going to really put our time and effort into this morning. Before we do that, though, we just can't jump into 3 without laying a foundation. So we're going to lay a foundation. Chapter 1, right off the bat, we see something really big happens in the history of Israel. And what we see there in chapter 1 is that Moses dies, okay? Moses, who is the servant of the Lord. How many people have ever heard of Moses? Hopefully you've heard of Moses. Remember, the children of Israel are in Egyptian captivity. They begin to cry out to God for deliverance. What God does is he works through people. So there's this guy in the desert whose name is Moses, and he raises up Moses to go into Egypt to talk to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." And through a whole bunch of plagues and miracles, we all know the story that Moses leads the children of Israel where? Through the Red Sea, okay? So that's Moses. He's a great, great leader. But here's the deal. As with every one of us, there comes a day when we move on to be with the Lord, we pass away. And now Moses is dead, so meaning he's no longer available to be used to carry out God's plan. And you say, what is God's plan? Well, you need to understand God's plan wasn't for them to live in the wilderness because that was on the east side of the Jordan River. God's plan is that for them to take a journey to the west side of the river to a place called Canaan. We also call Canaan what? The Promised Land, okay? So what needed to happen is they needed to go from the east coast to the west coast. They had to go from the wilderness. They had to enter into the Promised Land. But here's the deal. Moses is now dead and the people are like, God, what are you going to do? So what God does is he has a great plan and he raises up the second in charge, Moses' assistant, whose name is what? Joshua. Joshua. So God visits with Joshua and he gives him his assignment. So let's look at this. This is on the slides. It's in your note, your notes also. God makes the assignment to Joshua very clear. Look at verse chapter 1, verse 2. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you. You're going to lead these people, the Israelites. I want you to lead them across the Jordan River, and you're going to lead them into the land that I'm giving you. So that's the assignment, Joshua. You're going to be the next leader. You're leading them into this land I'm giving you. And then if you jump down just about 3 verses to verse 5, look at God gives Joshua a great, great promise. He says, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. How many people know they knew that God was with Moses? They saw the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the glory of God. He says, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. And look at this promise. I will not fail you, nor will I abandon you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to abandon you. You're going to be successful. And I'm sure Joshua is like, oh, Lord, I'm nervous. I don't feel like I'm qualified to be a leader. So 3 times God gives Joshua this command. And you can join with me together. God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. He tells him that 3 times. Everybody together, be strong and be courageous. So Joshua gets this idea. Finally, he understands that I'm going to be able to do this. Joshua accepts the assignment of God. God, I'm the new guy. I'm the new leader. You're the one. I'm the one you're going to use to get them from over here to over here, okay? So that's the background. So let's look at Joshua chapter 3. Actually, people in the sound room, we will read that passage. I was mistaken there. So let's read that together. It's on the PowerPoint. It says, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites, they left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they had camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Verse 4, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Okay? Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Verse 6, in the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And they started out and went ahead of the people. Verse 7, the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the people, the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop. Stop there. Verse 9. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says today. You will know that the living God is among you. Skip down to verse 11. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. How many people know that's a miracle? That means God is surely with them. Verse 14, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was now harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing at its banks. But soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above the point began backing up like a great distance away at a town called Adam near Zereth. And the water below that point flowed out of the Dead Sea until the riverbed was, everybody say that word together, dry. Miracle. God's with them. Then all the people crossed over into the promised land near a city called what? Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. As the people passed by, they waited there until the whole nation of Israel, which you need to understand, this is probably like a million people. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Okay? What I want to do today, I'm going to be very, very simple. And I want to focus our attention on one verse. One verse. That's about all I can handle in 1 week is one verse. And the verse I want to look at today is I want to refocus on verse 4. Everybody say 4, okay? And look at it again. I'm going to read it again one more time. It says, the Israelites' officers gave these instructions. Here it is. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Okay? So what we see in this verse is we see the people of Israel were commanded to do what? They were commanded to follow the Levitical priest. Why? Here's why. Because they had never been to this place before. They're going to a new place. They've never been there before. So as a result, they were going to need guidance. They were going to need direction. They were going to need help. Okay? I want you to remember that as we pray this morning. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Let me catch my breath. We've made up time talking quick. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture that is so powerful. We see your mighty arm at work. We see, God, that you work through people. We see, God, that you can do amazing things, that there's nothing too difficult for you. You can dry up riverbeds so nations can cross over into a new place. And so, God, I just pray that you'd fill this room today with faith. God, I pray that you'd fill this room today with just open hearts, open minds. God, I ask this for the next few minutes, that these would be God moments, moments where you will be glorified, where there would be a decreasing of who I am, and there would be a great increase of who you are. And God, I just ask, God, would you please be in these moments? God, our lives are busy. all kind of distractions. But Lord, may we be able to turn off all the things we're going to do even this afternoon, the things we have to do this week. And Lord, may we just pause in your presence here this morning. And everyone said, amen. Let me begin this morning with a question. Have you ever taken a trip to a place that you'd never been to before? Anyone? Probably all of us. You've been to a new city, you've been to a new state, you've been to a location. It's a place you'd never been before, okay? I know that that's been the case with me several times in my life where I had to go somewhere that I'd never been before. There's one story that particularly stands out in my mind, and that is when Heather and I got married. It was December of 1995, so it's been a great journey. And I remember in April of 1996, just 4 short months later, Heather and I got an invitation to join a staff of a church staff down in a church in Thomasville, Georgia, okay? And I want to let you know that that is a place that I had never been to before, okay? Never been there before. I actually looked at it this week. What's the distance between Minneapolis, because that's where we took off from, and Thomasville, Georgia? That's a trip of 1,350 miles, okay? So we took off. We loaded all of our belongings in like a 10-foot U-Haul. We didn't have much. We towed our Toyota Corolla all the way. And the year was 1996. And I want to let some of you young people know, you may not be aware of this, but in 1996, they didn't have smartphones. It seems like that's such a short time ago for us not having the technology that we do today. We didn't have smartphones, but I tell you what we had on our trip. How many people own one of these? How many people have State Farm insurance? Aren't these the best? All Heather and I had was a State Farm road atlas, and we had a highlighter. So what we did is, in our brilliant way of thinking, we took the highlighter and we started in Minneapolis and made a highlighted line, you know what I'm doing, to the border of Wisconsin, right over here in Hudson. All the way, our highlight went all the way through Wisconsin. That's a long drive, by the way. And by the way, will Beloit, Wisconsin ever be done with construction? I was there yesterday. I'm like, if I see another barrel or a barricade, I'm just going to go mad. So I was going like 90 through. No, I'm only kidding. But anyway, so my highlight went through Wisconsin. Then we made we turned back to Illinois in our little map. And we had a highlight from Illinois down into, then we turned to Indiana, you're getting it. Then we shot across on Indiana, only about an hour and a half drive. Then we highlighted our trip into Ohio. Then we stopped there, we visited my parents. Then we got out our atlas again and we went down south and we went through Kentucky, so we turned to Kentucky. Then we turned to Tennessee. How many people are getting the point? Then we turned to, what's after Tennessee? Georgia. Woo! So all I did was drive this U-Haul, and Heather would sit over there just as a newlywed wife, and she would just say, just keep going, this is where we're going. And here's the deal, 1,350 miles later, guess what? I don't know how it happened, but we arrived in Thomasville, Georgia, and everybody said, woo! It was awesome. Heather was a great co-pilot. So anyway, I bring that up to say this. In our text today, so let's get back to the Bible, we come across a group of people, and they're on a trip. And they're on a trip that they had never, ever been on before. This is brand new territory. And here's the deal. I want to let you young people know the children of Israel didn't have smartphones. Okay? Or did they have... They didn't have State Farm Atlas, man. They were just out there. Can you believe that? They were just out there without an atlas, without a smartphone. And you say, well, what did they have? Well, I'll tell you what they had. They had God. Everybody say God. How would they get there? They were instructed to do this. They were instructed to follow the priest, the men of God. And it would be the priest who would lead them to where they were to go. And they obeyed God, and they followed the priest, and here's the result. They entered into the promised land, this great miracle. They went through the Jordan River. They entered the promised land. And here's the cool thing. They arrived safely at a place that they had never been before. They were like, woo, we made it through the river. We made it from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I want to let you know that was really, really exciting news for them. They had gone to a place they'd never been before. See, what we need to understand is we think, well, didn't Moses lead them into the wilderness? Yes, he did. But how many people know God's original plan was that was supposed to be a very short trip? Israel was a very small, the wilderness was a very small piece of property, territory, land. It was supposed to be a trip that most scholars believe should have taken about 2 weeks at the most. But here's the deal. It didn't take 2 weeks. How long did it take? 40 years. 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief, doubt, disobedience. God had this great place. I want to take you here, but because of your disobedience, doubt, you can't go there yet. So I am so glad you're here today. And I say that with all sincerity today, because as I was praying for this message, I want to let you know that you're not here today by mistake. I really believe that God wanted you to be here. So thank you for being here, because as I was preparing this message, there was one dominant thought that kept going through my mind. Okay? And it kept going through my mind continually. And this is what I want to tell you this morning. I don't know where we're at in our fill-in-the-blank notes. I hope you're on. You take care of that. I'm not going to take care of that, okay? You follow along. But this is what I want to say to every person here this morning. If I had the time to take you down to maybe to hang out for coffee or go out to lunch or dinner with you, this would be the message that I have for each and every person this morning. And that is that I believe that God wants to take each and every one of us to a place that we've never been to before. I want to say that again. I wish I could look into each and every one of your eyes, but I've purposely taken off my glasses so I can't even see half of you. But I want to speak to your heart this morning and tell you that I really believe, regardless of how young you are, regardless of how old you may be, or how long you've been a Christian, or maybe you're not even a believer today, but you're here with us, thank you for being here. And that is, I believe that God wants to take each and every one of us to a place that we've never been to before. By the way, how does that make you feel? Whoa. And here's what I want to say. When I say a place, I'm not so much referring to a physical location. Does everybody hear me? I'm not referring that God wants to take you to a new physical location, a new. That may happen. But what I'm talking about is I'm thinking about something much better. I'm thinking about something very much, much bigger, okay? And when I say that God wants to take you to a new place, I believe that God wants to take every one of us to a new place spiritually. Can you hear me this morning? Spiritually. I believe that God wants to take each and every one of us to a new place in our relationship with the Creator. He sees where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And you're not a mistake. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make mistakes. Maybe parents make mistakes, but God doesn't make mistakes. Are you hearing me this morning? And I want to let you know that God wants to take you to a new place in your relationship with you, because here's the fact, and I believe this is in your notes. Please fill this in. Each one of us here today, we have something in common. We have many things in common. But one of the things that we have in common is this. Each one of us is on a spiritual journey. Every one of us, myself, you, Heather, Nolan, people in the sound room, everyone here this morning is on a spiritual journey, okay? And on that journey with God, I believe that every one of us is in one of three places. So we're going to talk about these one of three places quickly. Number one, you're here today and you may be in Egypt. Egypt, okay? Egypt represents a place of bondage. It's a place where we're spiritually in bondage to sin. We're in captivity. Okay? We're all born with this sinful nature. And just as the children of Israel were in Egypt physically, there's a lot of people that are in bondage spiritually. And I want to let you know that your only hope of getting set free spiritually is through who? not Moses. There's one far greater than Moses, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Jesus. He's the only one that can deliver you from your spiritual bondage. And for you to get set free, it starts by repenting of your sins, saying, God, I'm sorry. And then putting your belief in the Savior, Jesus. He's the only way for deliverance. So I really think there's people even in this room this morning that you're in spiritual bondage. That's where you're at. You're on a journey, but in your journey, you're in bondage. Okay, has everybody got me? Say, I got it. Number two, there's a second place that I think a large group of people are at, and that's called the wilderness. The wilderness. The wilderness is, it represents this place where we are wandering around due to our unbelief, due to our doubt, due to our sin. We're wandering around. Yes, we remember the day we said yes to Jesus, but we're still kind of wondering. It's kind of like we're living our lives in quicksand. We feel stuck. We feel like we're trapped. We feel like we're helpless. Yes, I gave my life to Jesus when I was a kid, but I really haven't gone anywhere. I haven't really done anything with that relationship until we feel like nothing's really changed. If you were to look at my life and somebody that has never said yes to Christ, our lives don't look much different. So we just feel like we're in this place where there's no transformation. There's no what we call biblically sanctification that's taking place. We're just kind of stuck. I'm stuck in this rut. Yeah, I said yes to Jesus. I just don't understand why I'm just not living any differently. I'm not looking any differently. I just feel like I'm stuck. And I think there's a lot of people that are just stuck. They're in the wilderness, this short little piece of territory, but you've been stuck there. You've been wandering around, unbelief, doubt, disobedience for 40 years. And God's saying, that's not really where I want you to camp out. There's somewhere greater that I want to take you. Is everybody with me? Say, keep preaching. Keep preaching. Oh, come on. That's all I needed to hear. Woo! Thank you for that encouragement. You can say that anytime. Okay, keep preaching. We'll be here at noon. You can just say, keep preaching. Okay, we won't be. So visitors just say, oh, thank God. Okay? Third place, a lot of people, there's actually, I think the biggest crowd is the wilderness, but there's some people who would say, yes, I'm in the promised land. You've had some breakthroughs. You've seen God do some great things in your life. But here's what I want to say to those people who are in the promised land. And listen to me very carefully. There's still work to be done. Are you hearing me this morning? There's still work to be done. There's still cities to conquer. There's still battles to win. If you read the rest of the book of Joshua, only three chapters later, what are they told to do? They're told to go and defeat the city of what? Jericho. They're in the promised land, but now there's still work to be done. There's still battles to fight. There's still ground. There's still great things that God wants to do in your life. And so if you're here today and saying, yeah, I'm in the promised land. I'm in Canaan. I want to speak to you and say, hey, God's not done with you yet. Amen? You'll know when God's done with you because you won't be here anymore. Okay? My dad's done with, God's done with my mother, but he's not done with us. Amen? So let's go. We're in this place called, what are we calling it, everybody together? Promised land. So here's the fact, and I want everybody to listen carefully. Every one of you, every single one of you, I don't care why you came here this morning, what your motive of even coming here this morning was, every single person is on a journey. Amen? And you will continue to be on a journey with God until the day you die or Jesus comes back to take us in the rapture. Is everybody hearing me this morning? We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. There's a great God who sits in heaven, who's enthroned in heaven. And I want to let you know, he wants to take you to a place in him that you have never been before. And I tell you what, in order to get to that place you've never been before, you're going to need what? You're going to need guidance. You're going to need direction. You're going to need a spiritual GPS to get you there. Is everybody hearing me this morning? Okay? Can you tell I'm super excited? Are you super excited to receive? Do you believe that God wants to take you to a new place? I hope so, because that's my heart for me. I was in here last night going through my message, praying, and I said, God, this message just isn't for these people. It's for me. It's for me. I believe, God, you want to take me to a place I've never been to before. And sometimes I can get a little nervous about that. I'm like, oh, God, what are you going to do? But how many people know we don't have to be nervous because God does all things what? Well, he's a good, good father. So how do we, what's the direction that we have for our trip? Let's write these down. These are in your notes. There's three methods, three means of direction. Number one, and I tell you what, this may sound redundant because we're in church. This is what Mike's supposed to say, but I want to let you know this is the facts, Jack. And that is direction comes from God's word, the Bible. If you want God to take you to a new place that you've never been to before, you're going to have to get into the good book. Amen? Like one pastor says, you're going to have to get your face out of Facebook and get your face into the book. Okay? I like that. I thought that was great. You guys didn't like it as much. Ouch. That hurt. We were going to have to get into God's word. Let's look at this verse and read it together. Psalms 119:105. Let's read this verse together. It's on the screen. It's on there, I promise. Okay? Everybody on three. One, two, three. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You see that word underlined there? Everybody say that together. Guide. God wants to take you to a place you've never been to before. Here's what you got to do. You got to get into the book. You said, I've read the book before. Well, I want to let you know I've eaten pizza before. And I plan on eating pizza again. Amen? And that's the way it's got to be with God's word. Yes, you've read the Bible. I want to let you know, every time you read the Bible, God wants to give you new direction. Amen? And here's the issue. It's not just about reading. There's something so important that must go along with that reading, and it's called obedience. Let's look at the next verse from James. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. Don't just read God's word. Everybody read this remaining part together. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. If we're going to get direction, we got to open God's word. We got to spend time in the word. Can I challenge you? You may say, well, right now I'm not spending much time in God's word. There's days I'm totally missing. Can I challenge you just 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes. Let God speak to you through his word. Let him guide your steps. And when you read something, here's the key to go to the new place. You just can't allow that just to be, well, that was a good idea, God, you put in the Bible. How many people know that this is what we need to, what? We need to obey. I tell you what, if you want to be blessed of God and you want to go a new place, find out what God wants you to do, and then what? Do it. Just do it. Get into the word for guidance. Here's the second one. You can fill this in. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will take you places you have never been to before. See, just days before Jesus was going to leave earth, he sat down his disciples, and I'm sure they were terrified. What do you mean you're going to leave Jesus? What do you mean you are the one leading us and guiding us for the last 3 years? But look at what Jesus says here in John 14, verse 7. Jesus says this, I'm going to give you a promise, and here it is. He is who? The Holy Spirit, and he will do what? Lead you into all truth. How many people know if you have asked Jesus to be your Savior, the Lord of your life? How many people know the Holy Spirit lives where? You're a temple. Paul talks in Corinthians, you are a temple. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells, inside of you. So if you put your faith in Christ for salvation and made him the Savior, Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he's not there just to, well, hang out because he needs a place to hang out. He wants to be inside of you and he wants to lead you into truth. And here's what we believe. We believe in a God who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And how many people know just as God knows everything, the Holy Spirit knows everything? I want to let you know, this may just strike you, like, wow, I didn't know that. But I want to let you know the Holy Spirit's smarter than you are. You know what? I'm serious. And how many people know the Holy Spirit wants to lead us? Just as Jesus led the disciples, the Holy Spirit now comes as this new advocate, and he wants to come and he wants to be with us when you go to your workplace on Monday, when you go to the gym this afternoon, when you go to school this year. You're not going into that school alone. Amen? You have something in your favor. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, wanting to lead your life. How many people have ever tried to go on a trip with a GPS unit on your phone, maybe a smartphone, and you made a wrong turn? You know where I'm going with this, don't you? What does that sarcastic, warm voice, and that, what does that voice say? Reroute, redirect, next possible U-turn, stop and do it. How many people know that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you? Oh, God, I really want to date him. He sure is a hunk. He's a good-looking guy. He's going to make a lot of money someday. How many people know we have the Holy Spirit saying, redirect. He's a dud. He doesn't know me. I'm serious. We have the Holy Spirit. He's our GPS who knows the first day of your life until the last day of your life. And he has good things for you. And the Holy Spirit will speak and say, U-turn. Don't go there. If you've gone too far, go back. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? And what we need to do, folks, is we need to learn how to be people that hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. For me, it's in my conscience. I just feel a prick, kind of like a pricking in my conscience when I know that I want to say something. Has anybody ever been there before? And God says, you don't really need to say that. But God, I really want to say it. It's going to make me feel good. But God, the Holy Spirit's saying, that's slander. That's sin. That's not going to take you to that new place that I want to take you to. Amen? Let's look at the last one. What will God use to direct us? He'll use other people, other believers. Everybody say believers. God will use other believers. How many people know we don't get very far in life alone? But we need other believers. We need other people. That's why we're encouraging to get involved in a small group for 6 weeks. Hey, folks. 6 weeks, you can do anything. Does everybody agree? 6 weeks. You can go to a group, and if you don't like it, it will only be 6 weeks. I can even go without pizza for 6 weeks, okay? But 6 weeks. Why? Because we believe that when you get together in Christian community, that people begin and you begin to open the word in that community together, that God can begin to do some amazing things. Amen? So I want to encourage you. You say, well, I haven't been involved in a small group for a long time. I want to encourage you to say, I'm going to try something different. And I'm going to get into this community with other believers. By the way, it would do us a lot of service to learn from. Let's look at the next slide. Geese. Yeah, thank you. That is geese. By the way, have you ever wondered why that on these formation there's one line longer than the other? Because there's more geese in that line. So next time you're looking up, you can put your son around you and say, man, do you ever, you know why that is? Well, there's more on that side, okay? And they'll go like, wow, Dad, you are amazing, okay? Actually, the reason why geese actually fly in these formations I was reading is because they can go 50% further when they're in a formation. Why? Because they cut down wind resistance. They can go further. Okay? Did you also know this? That when have you ever been outside when they're flying over, they honk. I won't try to make that noise. Honk. You know why they honk? Is because they can perceive when those in front of them are getting weak, tired, maybe wanting to quit. So what they do is they honk. And when they're honking, you're right, Nick, they provide encouragement. So we need to have small groups with a lot of honkers. Honk, keep going. God wants to take you to a new place. Honk, honk. Keep going. You know what I'm saying. One last thought about geese. Did you know if there's a goose that gets sick, gets hurt, whatever the case may be, and they fall out of the pack? You know, the other geese don't just say, well, Jack, I guess you just weren't going to make this trip. Good luck. Sorry you're not going to join us down south. We had great plans. But actually, the fact is, I read recently, is two other birds from that formation will do what? They'll fall out. And they'll go down with that sick goose, and they'll stay there until that bird recovers. And then when the bird recovers, when they see the next formation coming, what do? They all join together. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Don't you think the church should be like that? People should be what? Honking. We learned that last week in Hebrews. Do not forsake the gathering of saints. But when you get together, you do what? You encourage. And we should be there when people are hurt, when people get sick, when people are down. Not just saying, hey, good luck. I hope you make it to heaven. I hope you keep serving Jesus. What would it be like if two or three people, because you're in a small group, you're in community. See, right now you're sitting in a row. And I'm doing the talking, you're doing the listening. That's rows. That's what Sunday mornings are all about, rows. But Andy Stanley says this, we don't need just rows, we need what? Circles. And that's what a small group provides for you, is a circle. Where you interact, where you talk, where you share, where you pray together with other people, where you're in community together. We need, this is important, we need rows, but rows aren't all there is to the church, amen? There should be circles where people know you by name, people know your prayer requests, people know what you're going through in life, people know, because right now I don't know some of the things that are going on in your life, but if you get into a small group, you can share those things together and encourage together, amen? So is Rosie in the room this morning? Rosie, if you'd just come up and join me this morning. I just want us to come and let's just bow our heads this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Just bow your head, because I have about just a couple questions I want to ask you personally. Personal question number one. You need to ask yourself this question. And that is, do I want to go to places that I've never been before? Do I want to go to places I've never been before? Or are you content right where you're at? Don't bother me, God. I'm okay over here. I'm good. I'm just going to hang on. But question number one, do you want to go places that you've never been before? Are you open to that? Are you saying, God, God, I want to go those places? Or are you content? If you're here today and you say, I want to go new places, my next question is, what steps do you need to take in order to get new places? What steps are you going to have to take to get to the new place that God wants to lead you? Is your next step, this week I'm going to be in the Word. This week I'm going to learn how to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to learn how to listen. I'm going to learn to listen. And when he nudges me, I'm going to obey the nudge. What's your next step? Maybe your next step is coming up here in a few weeks when we have give you an opportunity to be in a small group. Is your next step saying, you know what? I don't like small groups. I don't want people to know about me. I don't like to talk in front of people, but could your next step be, you know what, 6 weeks, I'm going to see what God wants to do in my life through other people. And God, is that the next step that you want me to take? So right now, I just want to take about 15 seconds in silence with Rosie playing. And I just want you to ask yourself those questions. Do I want to go to a new place? And what will it take to get me to the new place that God wants to take me to? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage you today. If you want to go to a new place, I encourage you to stand to your feet. Just right now, just stand to your feet. You don't have to do this. Don't worry about anybody else. You say, right now I can't. But right now you say, I want to go somewhere new. I just want you to stand to your feet right now. God, I'm afraid. God, the unknown, what's going to happen? Maybe fear, anxiety. God, what do you want to do? I just want to encourage you. You don't need to be afraid. The place that God has for you is, it's good. It might be very challenging. Because how many people know God's taking us a new place as a church? Are you kind of picking up on some things that God's doing to us corporately right now? God wants to take this church to a new place. He really does. And God wants to take you to a new place. So ask yourself this question throughout the week. What do I have to do? What steps do I need to take? So God, I just pray as people are standing because they're saying, God, I want that. Speak to them right now, Father. Speak to them right now, Lord. You know, my next step is I want to spend more time in God's Word. My next step is I want to listen better to the Holy Spirit. If He knows everything, I want to listen better. How about you? What's your next step? And if you're in here today and you say, I'm in Egypt and I've never asked Jesus into my life, I've never repented of my sins, I've never placed my faith in Christ, if that's your next step, man, I want to encourage you to take the biggest, best, most courageous, fulfilling step that you can take in your life, and that is by giving your life to Jesus, saying, Lord, I repent of my sins. I turn to you as my Savior, as my hope, and I put my faith and trust in you. Is there anyone here today that needs to do that? Anyone? How many people say, I want to get out of the wilderness, man. I got to get out of here. Got to move on. I got to get out of the wilderness. I got to get out of the promised land. So, Lord, we just give you this time. We thank you for visiting with us this morning through your word. And, Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you won't leave us when we leave this building, but you live inside of us, and we want to be open to what you want to do in our lives. God, I just have this great impression on my heart that there's everyone in here you want to do something fresh. Fresh stuff, God, good stuff, new direction for their lives. And God, I pray you give them the courage to take the necessary steps. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, do you believe it today? Do you believe it today? God wants to take you to a new place. Amen.